The Caribbean Today, a digital news panorama by the Latin American News Agency from Havana, Cuba. Today is Tuesday, October 18, 2022. The president of Cuba, Miguel Díaz-Canel, called to maintain rigor in recovery efforts in the western territories of the country affected by Hurricane Ian. Through his Twitter account, the president insisted on not neglecting the work and alluded to the daily meetings that follow up on the recovery actions after the passage of the meteor. The also president of the National Defense Council urged the authorities of Pinar del Río, a territory with the greatest damage, to expedite a survey of the damages suffered in the housing fund. He also urged to reorder the recovery strategy of the electricity service in the province, which reaches 55.31% coverage, as well as to continue serving vulnerable communities. In Cuba is Natalia Canam, Deputy Secretary General of the United Nations and Executive Director of the United Nations Population Fund, in response to an invitation from the Cuban government. During her visit, which will last until next Wednesday, she will exchange with national authorities toward the projects developed by UN Population Fund in Cuba and participate in 2022 Cuba Health International Convention inaugurated on the eve. The senior official has a history of over 30 years of strategic leadership in the fields of medicine, public and reproductive health, social justice, and philanthropy. Natalia Canam is the fifth executive director of UN Population Fund since the fund began operations in 1969. Cuban diplomats and members of the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church exchange standpoints on negative impact of the U.S. blockade on Cuba's economy and people. In the meeting held on Sunday, the second head of the Cuban embassy in Washington, D.C., Alejandro Garcia, and Vice Consul Laura Rivas explained consequences of the illegal policy imposed by the U.S. government on Cuba and its people's daily life, according to the Cuban Foreign Ministry. Cuban officials also commented on the 243 measures adopted by Donald Trump's administration, which kept unchanged. White House's inclusion of Cuba in the list of state sponsor of terrorism influences limitations on Cuba's access to equipment and technologies from other nations. It also hinders the use of the international banking system by Cuban companies, public and private entities, they added. The diplomats took advantage of the meeting to express their gratitude for the ties between the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church and the Havana First Presbyterian Reformed Church, and also the efforts to send medicine and food donations to Cuba. And in the international agenda, we have that Uruguay's trade union, PIT-CNT, spoke out against the bill that currently makes progress in Parliament to modify the current Collective Bargaining Act between employers and workers. The initiative went to the legislature in response to observations presented before the International Labor Organization. It is an outdated and regressive proposal of a handful of businessmen, states a communique of the Interunion Workers Plenary National Workers Convention signed by its president, Marcelo Abdala. Last week, the Chamber of Deputies approved five modifications of a proposal presented by the government of President Luis Lacalle Pou. We reject this bill and alert the whole society of the dangers of this kind of conceptions which shake the national economy and the quality of life of the national majorities, the statement points out. Meanwhile, 3 years after the social outbreak in Chile, many of the citizens' demands remain unanswered, among them the progress towards a constitution to replace the one in force since times of the dictatorship. A movement led by students to fight a rise in the subway fare began in Santiago on October 18, 2019, which subsequently spread nationwide and demonstrated the population's dissatisfaction with neoliberalism. The October riots were repressed by Chile's militarized national police, known as Carabineros, and military forces, resulting in nearly 30 deaths, thousands of wounded, and 460 people without died injuries due to firing of pellets or tear gas bombs. The protests, considered the largest since the end of the dictatorship in 1990, paved the way to start a constituent process, but a proposed constitution drafted by elected delegates of the Constituent Assembly was rejected in September 4 referendum. This is the first outbreak of commemoration under the government of President Gabriel Boric, a former student leader who participated in the signing of the Agreement for Social Peace that initiated the constituent process. And this is all for today. We'll be back tomorrow with more news on the Caribbean that unites us.